The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Brian Wilson of KGLA Radio in Algona and Aaron Summers of the Lake City Graphic Advocate. Brian, you can start us off with the question for Senator Grassley.
Before you ask a question, Merry Christmas to both you and Aaron. And
thank you.
And secondly, thank you for participating.
Not a problem, Senator. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you as well.
Sure.
The Republican tax plan, looking like that's going to be voted on here very soon. Can you talk about that and maybe what it'll mean to Iowans, especially you know average lower income Iowans? What kind of benefits will they see from that?
Well, I'm sure I should give you more than 3 or 4 points. 6 million people that file income tax today won't have to file income tax because they're going to be at a low enough where it kicks in. So those are lower income people. Middle income will benefit mostly from reduction of the individual tax rate of 25 down to 22, with a lot more people covered by the 22% than probably were covered by the 25%. They will also benefit from the reduction of the tax rate, the first tax rate from 15 down to 12. If they have kids, and families will really benefit from this. If you're single or married without children, you don't benefit from increasing the child tax credit from $1,000 to $2,000, but that's going to be a big benefit to middle-class families that have kids. There's a regressive tax in the tax code that's going to go away. This would include 52,000 Iowans that have that are below $50,000 a year income that decided not to have Obamacare. So then they have to pay a tax to the federal government, probably a $695 a year. That tax will go away. It's a very regressive tax, and that covers 85% of the people that are the 52,000 Iowans that are below $50,000 a year income. So those are 4, 5, or 6 of the things that I think are going to benefit Iowans. Now let me give you something that fits more with the Senate bill before we had this compromise between the House and Senate. But at that point, the Tax Foundation said it was going to benefit Iowans about $2,600. That would be increased wages as well as lower taxes. For the nation as a whole, a family of 4 would benefit about $2,200. Now we're ready for Aaron.
Well, to follow up on that, should Iowans be concerned about the sunset dates for some of those individual tax cuts in the proposed bill? They're 2025 or 2021, yeah. Something like that?
I don't think so, but I can only give you history to justify my position, because who's going to know what the Congress is going to do 8 years from now?
It's true.
First of all, let me tell you that under the rules that we're operating under, called reconciliation rules, the law requires that unless you got 60 votes, you can't pass a tax bill for more than 10 years. So that's the reason, the question you're asking me. So let me answer it this way. I went through this in 2001, chairman of the committee, under the same reconciliation rules. So we lowered taxes until 2011. But before 2011 got there, we had extended the tax increase. And by 2012 or 2013, 98% of what we passed in 2001 became permanent law and still permanent law today until we pass this new bill. So I'm saying to you, based on history, that that when you get to the year 2025 or before then, Congress is going to extend it, which it can do either under reconciliation for another 10 years, or they can do it by regular order for making permanent law like we did in 2012.
Okay.
Brian?
I guess you've been a little bit critical of some of the president's appointees for some court positions recently. I guess, what are your thoughts there? What would you like to see from some of those nominees to, not the Supreme Court or anything, but still, what do you want to see from those court-appointed nominees?
I think you'd have to say that I've only raised questions about three of about 50 that have come up. And by the way, this president is working very fast on judgeships. I can tell you that passing the 12th Circuit Court judge through the Senate last Thursday, we have done more circuit court judges than any president since circuit courts were set up in 1891. So in every instance that we have said these judges should not move ahead, it didn't necessarily have anything to do with their qualifications, and maybe something that even the Judiciary Committee didn't know until one of them got out, that he had said some things that were very bad and would question his impartiality. That was the nominee for the District Court, Alabama. Then for Texas District Court, there was something that he said about transgender people. Now, his papers weren't up here, so the president was really hadn't formally nominated him yet, but he was going to be nominated, but we preempted that. And then lastly, in the case of Peterson for the District Court, D.C., he just didn't act like a person that even graduated from law school on questions he were asked. Now, those were very technical questions, and I'm not saying he wasn't going to be a good lawyer and maybe even be a good judge, but it just showed lack of preparation when he couldn't answer those questions. So I would narrow it down to about three out of close to 50. I'm ready for Aaron.
Well, just to follow up, since one of those three did initially, you mentioned that there were some things that the Judiciary Committee didn't know about till after you had given the nod to his nomination. Do you have any concerns, or do you have any new policies or just kind of different instructions for your staffers as you're investigating nominees going forward based on that experience?
You know, when you know what these people go through, I don't know how we can do it any better. First of all, in the state where they're nominated, there's probably a commission interviews people. Then they come to the White House on suggestions from the senators. And then they go through a very thorough vetting process there. Then the name comes up here, and we spend about a month before we put them on the agenda. They fill out a very long questionnaire. We get an FBI report, and don't forget the FBI has probably questioned dozens and maybe in some cases, I wouldn't want to say hundreds of people, but just a massive number of people the FBI questions. And that's never made public, but we have access to it, and any member of the committee can review it, and my staff goes through it very thoroughly. I don't know how you can do much more than what the thorough process we go through. Most of these things have come up off of social media, and I don't know how you can tell what's on social media that everybody talked about. Brian, you'll have the last question.
Well, we had talked a few months ago, and you said the tax reform was a big priority. Assuming, I don't never want to assume anything, I guess, but assuming that does get done here in the very near future, I guess, well, what's next? What is going to be coming up next in the Senate and things you're looking to get done here once you maybe get past the holiday?
Infrastructure, still trying to repeal Obamacare and probably some welfare reform, and I'm not talking about Social Security or Medicare. For me, I'd like to suggest that hopefully next year we get criminal justice reform out of my committee. Out of committee already is juvenile justice reform. We got to reach an agreement with the House on that, and we can pass that. And early in the year, and this is something not just for my committee, but it does come out of my committee, or if it doesn't come out of committee, it'll be discussed on the floor. We got to do something with DACA. It's probably one of the first things we'll do next year ahead of almost anything else that I've mentioned.
Thank you, Brian and Aaron, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.